You two are bad friends.
Who are these two idiots?
A white dude and an Asian dude.
You two are disgusting.
Oh, you two are something.
We're bad friends.
Can I play you a song to start the show?
Why?
I want to play you a song.
You can do whatever you want. It's your show, baby.
Oh, boy.
It's you. You make all the decisions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to come up with these little games that we do, call-ins and these little sketchy sketch things. And I'm going to choose the bad friend's colors and the background. And okay. I'm going to do the art direction.
Can you imagine?
And then, Bob, you just show up, okay? So why do you even ask me? I mean, it's... See what I mean? There we go.
Yeah.
Is it nothing about my flat face or...
Nope.
Okay. That. Did you sing it?
No, there's a kid named Amphu. It's a remix from last week's episode. It's really good.
I don't have enough problems.
That's really good.
I don't have enough problems.
Oh, get fucked. That's such a fun song that some guy did. Rude, do you like it?
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
it.
You do? Because I'm going to say this. You fucking live in my house rent-free, baby.
And you pay her.
And I pay you, and I feed you, all right? So how about one time you're fucking side with me?
Oh, Papa's angry.
Shout out to my friend Ramey and Branson and Frankie. They live in Georgia, and we play Warzone together. Shout out to you guys. We took number one time during the week. What's up, babies? And shout out to my Georgia fucking Warzone buddies online. What's up, babies?
What's up, babies?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, the thing is that...
I love that song.
I've been trying to get you to play Warzone, but now you won't play because of the fact that Fatty Eric Griffin posted
online. I don't want to be on YouTube.
Yeah,
we're
not going to
because I'm not that good.
When we play, we're not going to go online. So, will you promise me this? Do you play tonight?
Yeah.
Promise me this that you play tonight or no?
I can't play tonight.
Why?
Because I have a thing.
What thing?
It's date night tonight.
Really? At midnight, I'm asking.
We're supposed to be fucking then.
Oh, so you fuck every Friday night?
No. Well, we fuck a lot of nights. But I'm saying we do it because the pandemic has kept us in the house and we don't like have any normal lives. We've been doing date night once or twice a week.
Mm.
So we arrange a nice night to get dressed up, to make a nice dinner, to like not just do the TV sit around fuck off thing.
Well, what about then Saturday night? Warzone, baby.
Okay, Saturday night I'll play.
It's at midnight?
Whatever time you want to play.
Or, but if you're not on, dude, I'm done with this podcast.
Great. Okay.
Oh, don't roll your eyes because I'm being real, baby.
What a stupid threat.
Because I've been asking you all week and I get hurt. I tell everybody.
You get hurt? I get hurt that you sit there with Eric Griffin chumming around with Griffin. And we go in here, Bobby. Here we go. We're going to go get the money, Bobby. Hey, Bobby. He's leading you around that game and you're letting him do it. It's making me sick.
I know. I understand that.
I don't like what he does. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but the thing...
Bobby, we got to go over here to get this cash drop.
Yeah,
I don't like it. Put it in the box and make it a balloon go. How the balloon go up?
I don't like it. I don't like it either.
And then he puts it
on
YouTube.
That's why I'm asking you to play.
I will
so
play.
So that we can weed him out.
He's going to get so mad when... you know what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen. You think that I feel good about a fatty fat fuck like him... leading me in a war?
Here's what's going
to
happen.
Hey, baby. He goes, hey, baby, let's go into that fucking McDonald's right there and wait for the... I know what he's trying to fucking do.
Half of the game was spent in fast food for some reason.
I know. He always wants to go to those fucking, abandoned fucking fast food places. I don't know why.
Because it's like an old PTSD thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Taking him back. Tell me, before you left to go outside, you think the Pandy is a conspiracy?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Bobby, me.
Yeah, you're Bob.
Yeah, I don't know much. I read articles on the web.
Yeah.
I watch the news. You know, maybe it's the fake news. I have no idea.
Well, it's all fake, pretty much.
Yeah, and I get pulled one direction, right? Because for me, my foundation is, I'll admit, is you know, Papa's a liberal. I'm a liberal.
You're a liberal.
Yeah. And so then I kind of generally listen to, oh yeah, I'm on this team, but there are sides of me now that is being pulled in the other direction.
Well, what led you to this? What article did you read?
Well, it's just that I sometimes listen to like Joe Rogan and all those kind of Brian Callen and those guys.
Well, don't listen to Callen. That's a foolish mistake. That guy's a moron.
And then Joe Rogan, you know, he said that maybe he's gonna move
to Montana or
something. So he can do stand up and stuff.
He wants to move because he has enough money to go wherever he wants.
Yeah.
If you were that rich, wouldn't you just leave? I would have left a long time. What would be the purpose?
Yeah, like Paulie flew to Hawaii.
I would fly to Hawaii too if I had it.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii right now.
Speaking of Hawaii, what? And your shirt. Look at you, got a Hawaiian shirt on. I watched your movie last night and I called you, didn't I?
God.
I watched, so David.
Listen.
David Spade has a new movie called The Wrong Missy on Netflix. Spade's our homie. We love Spade. He's our buddy. Swartzen is in it, who, by the way, so funny. And I texted Nick. I go, very funny in the movie. He goes, it's the fattest I've ever been. And I go, I don't think it is
the fattest he's
probably
ever been. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But it's not that he was fat. He's not fat in it. It's just, I think.
Bloated. It looks like that like
Jimmy
Hoffa. He was regular size and he died, went into the ocean.
They found him.
And then, you know, over the week, the ocean water made him bloaty.
That's mean. He's our friend. That's mean. He's our friend.
Oh, then it looks like, instead of that, it looks like that he was a regular guy, right? He got real hungo, right? And then just ate a buffet in Vegas for 24 hours straight.
And then flew to Hawaii to shoot.
And then, no, and then went onto a boat, got shot in the head, went in the water, and then he got bloated.
Yeah. I called you after I watched the movie.
And then you put me in a fucking bad mood.
I did put you in a bad mood. I said this. Let the fans decide then. I said this phrase. My wife and I said, an underutilization of your talent. It's a bummer that I didn't see more of you. That's a compliment, Bob. That's saying, I wish I wanted to see more of you. I was bummed.
Since the year 2000, I've been auditioning for Adam Sandler movies. I auditioned for a bunch of them.
The Pixels. Did you go out for that?
Yeah.
Zohan?
A bunch of stuff. Okay. And I could never get into his world. Mm-hmm. You know, I memorize the lines. I go in there. I could never get into a movie. And that was a dream. Like, I just want to be in an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you are.
So then last summer, Spade calls me and goes, hey, man, will you do one line in my movie in Hawaii? And if anybody had asked me that,
yeah,
I'd be like, fuck you.
Fuck you?
Fuck you.
You would, if I asked you, you would do it for me.
There's rare occasions I would do it for you.
Yeah. But most people, you
most go, people, I'd just be, especially if my agent called me and goes, this one line, he'd even talk me out of it probably and go, I don't think it's worth your time.
But Spade wanted you to do it. He called you directly.
Yeah, Spade called me and I go, one line, I go, I don't know. And he goes, it's a big favor to me and Adam. And that was like.
To Egret.
No, Adam Sandler.
Oh, the other Adam.
Who produced it. So I go, oh, fuck, maybe this is my way into that world. And you know, I went there and I was kind of just like, I have one line, so it was no pressure. I slept fine that night. You know, so usually when I've been in a movie before. Where
did you stay in that hotel that you guys shot in?
No, it was a different hotel that they shot. But my point is then when I showed up, I'm on set and, you know, I see all my friends are there, Witowski. Love him.
He's so funny.
So funny. Lapkus.
Yeah.
Spade.
Yeah.
And I'm Sandler's wife. I do one take, right? And then I hear cut. I shouldn't be talking about this.
This isn't bad.
It's not bad. I know. I shouldn't be talking about this, but I hear cut and then I see on my peripheral vision Mr. Sandler come across, you know what I mean? To come to me.
You gotta do it a different way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just not right. Whatever I'm doing is not right.
The vibe wasn't right, what he wanted.
Yeah, I think I was making, because, you know, in, back in the Mad TV days, if they gave me a line, I would do everything I can to get a laugh from that one line.
Well, that was the job.
Right.
Right? That was the
whole
job.
So even if it was like, you know, welcome to McDonald's, right? I would go, you know, do something. What? You know what I mean? I'd do a stutter or, you know what I mean?
Do what you would do.
I would do something to get, especially in front of a live audience, do whatever I can to get a laugh.
You'd go, welcome to McDonald's!
Yeah.
You'd do it huge.
But I didn't do that. I guess a movie, so I go, you know, I'll just play as real, but try to get a, Ben, it just, every take was like, it's too broad, it's too, I don't understand what you're, you know.
It just wasn't working.
So what you see in the movie is, as you know, what I did, and it hurt my feelings.
Have you seen the whole film? You haven't watched it.
No.
No. So you don't even know what it is.
Oh, I've seen the clips that
they sent you. The clip.
Fans go, you got a line,
and you find that condescending.
I find it to be. Listen, I'm not like some of these other comics that, you know, I'm not like, I don't want to fucking name anybody.
Okay, don't name anybody.
But I've done a lot of TV shows and movies. It's not as if it's my first rodeo, baby.
Nah, Papa been on the boat before.
Many, many right there. And I, so, you know, by doing one line, I'm doing a favor. I'm trying to like go, you know what? Try to be in service.
Yes, yeah, service the film.
Service the film.
Yeah, that's the move.
And I did that, but in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have done it.
Well, here's the thing.
And you've been in those situations before, bub.
Come on, bud. I have the. You want to have the fans get a real good laugh? Go ahead and watch James Franco's The Disaster Artist, which is based on the movie The Room, which is one of the worst movies of all time. Your boy is in four scenes. I'm in the first fucking scene. Like, the first thing you see, it's my big fucking orange head. Guess what I say?
What?
Nothing. This is, I go like this, and they cut me out. I have literally zero dialogue.
Yeah.
You see me about to say something four times.
Mm.
Nathan Fielder and I had a whole bit in an alleyway. Gone. I was so mad about it.
I know.
Like, so hurt by it.
I know you were.
That I genuinely wanted to say something to Franco and be like, my guy, I respect what people do when they cut a movie and things end up on the editing floor. That's how it goes. But then don't show me.
What do you mean?
Well, don't show me and I don't say anything.
Oh, right.
Don't show me.
Cut around you.
Yeah, don't show me.
Oh, cut around you.
Show me.
But if it's a wide shot and your little orange head, because it's not hard to miss your ugly orange head.
VFX can do wild, cool stuff. You could have just blah, 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 done some.
Right.
Get rid of me. Get rid of me. Cut around me. It's, you know how television and film works. You do.
No, because they're.
You do 1,000 takes. There's a way to cut around me.
How cool is it though, right?
That I was a part of it?
No, but how cool, listen to this logic though. Let's suppose I directed a movie, right? And I directed a movie and I had Tom Hardy in it, but I cut out all his lines.
Yeah.
But he's still in it.
Yeah.
And people are watching and go, oh, Tom Hardy, that's how cool Bobby Lee's movie is, that even Tom Hardy is an extra.
Yeah, but that's Tom Hardy. He's a fucking superstar. I'm trying to.
You're a superstar too.
No, I'm trying
in comedy?
To.
Comedy? Who's been an orange headed?
I'm trying
Bill
to.
Bill Burr only.
Bill Burr's huge.
Yeah.
Louis C.K.
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Nah, he doesn't have hair anymore. Neither of them do. Okay. Louis.
Yeah.
Redheads are. There's a bunch. Louis. Burr.
Burr.
Fitzsimmons.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Kathy Griffin. Lucille Ball, R.I.P.
Yeah. There's a lot.
A lot of redheads.
You're right. And you're like the last one.
I'm seventh.
No, you're up there.
No,
my point
is, I have no disrespect to James and to Seth and those guys. I think Seth and Evan, I love those guys. I wanted to be in part of their camp too, just like you want to be a Sandler.
Yeah.
The thing that broke my heart was I went to the fucking premiere. Dude.
They didn't tell you before you went to the premiere?
They don't tell you.
Oh my God, if I was in the audience and I saw that, I would probably kill myself right there in the theater.
So I almost did.
I can't imagine you in the theater watching the whole thing and what was going through your head. So, that's joy.
So here's what happened.
Oh, I love it.
It was at the Man's Chinese Theater. Yeah. It was at the premiere. Your uncle Chung Man owns it, and Wong Man, sorry, the Wong Man. And I went to the premiere. We sat in the far, very far back corners, me and my lady, and the movie starts, and I see it, and I'm kind of getting into it, and then I think, oh, okay. Well, they didn't use me at this front scene, even though I had a really funny line to James, da-da-da-da. It's okay. And then I see the next one, and I was like, yeah. I was at the lunch table. I thought I had some really funny lines to June Diane Raphael. You know who she is, right?
Yeah.
And then I thought, her and Paul Scheer and Davey Franco were in this other room together. And then I thought, well, this scene literally calls for us to make fun of the other scene. It's us.
Yeah.
It's us.
Yeah.
And then nothing there. And so to the fourth time I come on camera. And
if I was next to you, I would have been laughing the whole time.
And I get so hurt by it that I mean this. As we're leaving,
yeah,
I had a full-fledged panic attack. My blood pressure went up. I couldn't see. I couldn't breathe. So I grabbed my wife's hand and I was like, let's go immediately. Like, let's get in the fucking car.
And what did your wife do?
Let's get the fuck out of here. She was so bummed for me. She was just super hurt. She was like, it's okay. She goes, do you want to show your face at the party? Because people that don't know, after you do a premiere, you have to go to this after party.
Did you go?
No. I went right to my house and I sat in my fucking bed, and I'm not kidding, I didn't sleep for like 2 days because I was just like, this must mean I suck. This must mean they don't like me. This must mean I'm fucking dog shit. It tortured me over and over. And then a piece of me was like, and then I felt bad that I didn't go to the party. Oh, am I a fucking, why wouldn't I go to that party? Now they're going to be like, that guy's a fucking asshole. He didn't even go to the party. All of that stuff was going through my head.
Yeah.
And, you know, come to know that those guys don't give a fuck. They have to do what they have to do. It's like, they didn't do that on purpose. It's a thing. Nobody cares. That's my point, is like, it's over. It's in the past. It's not, there was no reason for it. It was what it was.
But I've always wanted to be a part of a camp. I think that's the problem.
Of course we want to be a part of a camp.
Swartzen's in the Sandler camp.
But he's been in there forever.
I know, but I'm saying, though, you know, Ken Jeong's in a camp.
Which camp? What is he in?
He's in the Apatow, that kind of camp.
No, he's not. Ken Jeong? No, he's not. Not really. Ken just gets a lot of work. He just gets work. He's Hangover got him a lot of work. He's not in like a camp. Like, Schwartz and those guys, I get it. All the guys that do Sandler films, Schneider, they're all in the same Spadey.
Yeah.
They're all in the same. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And Evan and Seth and Evan do a lot of the same kind of people. Franco and his brother. And
yeah.
Dude, those are great places to fucking be.
We have to create our own camp. That's the point.
Well, let's create our own camp.
I'm lazy. I don't know how to do it.
Who would be in your camp?
Oh, shit. I would. My camp?
Yeah. What? Am I in it?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right on.
If I had a camp, let's say I was a full-fledged writer-director.
Let's say you had a huge studio deal. Universal gave you a huge, like, 10-picture deal, and they're like, Bobby, you have a bungalow on the lot. You can hire writers and actors and directors. Who are you picking?
Wow, that's difficult. But I would probably do you.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to help my friends that I think are really good that don't work as much as I think they should.
Who do you think is really good that doesn't work enough?
Rosenbaum.
Yeah, Michael's
I think
great.
Michael Rosenbaum's very funny.
I've got to text him back. I have to text him back about doing a show.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I just remembered that.
Yeah, I would probably Sasso.
Easily one of the funniest people on planet Earth. Yeah.
I would use this also the standard, but a lot of chicks too. I'd probably use, you know who? I like Melissa Villaseñor a lot.
One of my closest friends.
Yeah, there'd be a bunch, but I love
her.
Probably who Jade Cataprata, maybe.
Would you hire Griff?
Of course. I'd have to.
As what?
Security. You know what I mean? How you go into the lot and he's the one that checks the ID?
You got to pass.
You got to pass. Yeah. You can't get on the lot, man.
Send a drive on, man. You got to park.
You're not on the list,
lot.
Man. Or let me call. You know how they call?
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go?
Yeah, when you were revving that engine, ready to pump all the time. Now you can increase your performance and your libido, get that confidence in bed back up. Right, Bob?
BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue.
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable, same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, full stomach, or like Bob, an empty stomach when you're fasting.
Yeah. They work twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
That's right. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office and wait in line at a pharmacy. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. It's not going to say Blue Chew on it. It's going to say something else, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to use Blue Chew this week, and I'm going to try it out.
Okay, I've tried it out. Really fun.
They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. No awkwardness, and you don't have to leave the house.
It's pretty incredible. Honestly, it works very well. No one needs to know it's your business. Do what you need to do to get that thing pumped up and ready to rock. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment for free when you use our promo code
BADFRIENDS.
Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's Blue, BLUEChew.com. Promo code is
BADFRIENDS.
It's the better, cheaper, faster choice.
Yeah.
Go to BlueChew.com and type in
BADFRIENDS.
That's right. MeUndies.
Hey, guys. MeUndies is my favorite pair of underwears I use. I use it on the road. I use it when I perform. I use it during the day when I lounge around. It's so comfortable.
Yeah, they're great, actually. They fit nice and snug, and they don't ride up on you like other underwear.
It's like the most world-soft and most sustainable underwear on earth.
And you can get funky prints. You can get unicorn on there, or you can go old school, just black, and you know, leave it boring, but not Bob. Bob always has funky MeUndies
on. Yeah, like leopards
ones. You got to up your undie game. They're made of soft, sustainable fabric, and they go from small me all the way up to Bob, 4XL. 4XL is what Bobby wears.
Don't know.
Yes, I do. They have a great offer for our listeners. They make the best underwear. Seriously, we both do really love it. We had our buddy Brandon Dermer used our code.
Love him.
Yeah, he used
it. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners our listeners.
Yep.
He's usually mine. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping.
It's a no-brainer. They're 100% satisfaction guarantee. You will love them. They're not going to get stuck in your tush. Get 50% off your first order, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/BADFRIENDS. That's MeUndies.com/BADFRIENDS. That's right.
I think I already told you about I've had so many problems at those gates.
Oh, it's endless. For people that don't know, when you go up to a gate, Warner Brothers, Universal, one of these lots, they have to check your ID, and you have to have a drive-on pass to get your car on there. And if they don't, they embarrass you, and they make you pull over to the side while everyone just like scans in, and they have to call and go, yeah, he's out here.
I just pitched with Howie Mandel and Joe Coy before the quarantine.
Yeah.
And I was at it was a Netflix or someplace like that. And I'm at the gate and I'm telling him, I'm on the list. And like, you're not on the list, man. Get out of here. He says, get out of here.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding you. I could get out of here. I swear to God, I'm with Howie Mandel. He just texted me. Right? He goes, no, you don't know Howie Mandel. Get out of here.
What do you think? You were like a crap?
And then I hear Howie go, hey, Bobby Lee. I go like this, and you could see the security guy's face go, this drop, and go, all right.
Did this guy have like a vendetta against you?
No, it's just I don't look like I should be in showbiz.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No.
You do.
No, I was at a hotel where it was me, Jordan Peele, and Arden Marine were publicizing Mad TV, and I was at a hotel, and I just was sitting outside, and the security guard comes up to me and goes, get off the premises.
Shut up.
That's the first thing comes out of us. I go, what did I do? What?
Why?
You only guess. Because it was in a really nice hotel.
Right.
And I always look, you know what I mean, like I'm a black market pineapple smuggler. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like shady.
Yeah.
Like I have a human trafficking business on the side.
Yeah, you're up to something. You're driving a U-Haul for some reason.
And he, without even asking me, are you a guest or anything like that, his opening line was, get off the premises or I'll call the police.
I like this guy.
No, but I'm just saying that I just have that vibe, I think. Here's another thing. I did this Nickelodeon show once, and I show up to Paramount, and I go to the lady, and she goes, all right, in this room. And I go, what room? I'm Bobby Lee. She goes, I know, in this room. So I go in the room, and it's like 10,000 extras. And I wanted to say to her, you know, I was a principal on it.
Yeah.
But instead of saying that, I go, okay.
And you just did it.
I just sat there.
Why?
For an hour.
Why would you do that?
So that lady would get in trouble.
You wanted to get this woman fired because of your defiance?
Oh, yeah. So then agent calls me. I'm sitting there and he goes, where are you? I go, I'm here. I was here early. I'm in the fucking extra stable. He goes, what? Yeah, the blonde lady with the thing sent me here. And then she comes up to me. And she goes, are you Bobby Lee? I go, yeah, you're the one that's, yeah, I told you I was. But you're not supposed to be. I go, you sent me in here. And she got in so much trouble.
She probably got fired.
I don't give a fuck. Don't do that.
That girl was probably making like $6 a day.
Know who's coming. Know who's coming.
Know who's coming.
Know who's coming. I've done so many of those little weird things.
I can't do that.
Why?
It's too mean. It's too mean. Who cares sometimes? When someone goes, I've been treated like that. I show up for a show.
Fight for yourself.
Nah.
When
I did the second episode for This Is Us, when I went back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
No,
I didn't.
Yeah. It's like a comedy club not letting you in. When you headline.
I don't care enough.
I care. It's disrespectful. I didn't do, 10 years of open mics.
You did.
I know I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it.
You could still use a couple more, to be honest.
Did that burn? Maybe I will move to Texas with Joe Rogan.
Stop, don't move to
Texas. Maybe I will.
So what do you believe? What do you believe the conspiracy, by the way? You believe that this is bologna pony pudding pie?
I don't believe that. Oh, shit.
Let me play you something. Mm. Let me play you something. Your lovely girl sent me this, as you know, okay? This is something that we have on the show here. This was from before. Mm. This is you. This is Tootie Bobo.
That's how I wake up.
This is Tootie Bobo. This is waking up at about 2:45. We played this a couple weeks ago.
There he goes. Come back this way.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Jules?
Yeah.
You know that fart.
She's so turned off by my farts that what I do at nights, I have a system now.
It's so gross.
I know. I have a system because I have a very tight butthole.
Well, a guy named Spencer Tritt did you a favor.
So what I do at nights, can I just finish my point?
Uh-huh.
Fuck nut.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I take both fingers when I have to fart.
Oh, boy.
And I spread my cheeks as wide as I can to create the biggest opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like a loose queef. It goes
oh,
like that. And then I trap the fart in the blanket. And but did you know this? And this is science.
Yeah.
No matter how long you trap.
It stays.
It stays.
I know. It doesn't go away.
So I don't know. You know, I should have went to biology class or something. But, you know, that's science. You learn everything new every day, you know?
So mean.
I know.
It's so gross.
What are you going to do? I'm old. My body, I think the mechanisms
but
don't work.
But you just roll over, get out of bed, fart, and get back in. That's what I do. I get out, fart.
Well, you get off the bed.
If it's going to be a bad one. Do you ever think when you fart into the mattress, does it stay in there? How long? I think about that. How many poo particles stay inside of there?
Oh, probably a lot.
So many.
Yeah.
Listen to what this boy did for you for that fart sound. Listen how good this is. Another fucking techno kid sent us something that I'm amazed by. Listen. How good is this?
So good.
It's really actually good. It's this kid's name is Fractal Beef. Rudy, you like it? Shout out to Spencer Tritt. I mean, that's really,
we have really,
really
talented fans.
Dude, that's
the point.
So many talented fans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that kind of stuff, man.
You have so many talented
tell
fans.
Tell me about your conspiracy.
Shout out to Ramey and
Brenson and Frankie
from Georgia.
You watch Rogan and you bought into the thing that you believe that it's I told Rudy before that they did a study in the Philippines that he talked about on there.
Mm.
In the Philippines, they found that people that have higher levels of vitamin D had 7 times – the chances of having a less severe COVID infection. You know, they're saying sun helps a lot.
Yeah, vitamin D.
Guess who has the highest? Yeah, vitamin D from the sun.
Who
has
it? Orange head.
The
orangies.
Redheads have super high levels of vitamin D. Why do we produce high levels of vitamin D? Guess.
Because of the sun.
Because we're not supposed to be outside. Yeah. So our body naturally, like a superhero, I make tons of vitamin D.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I tried to Google it to try to find out if any redheads have died from COVID.
Yeah.
And they don't categorize you by hair, but they should.
They should. You know, but they do make a point that if – here's the I want to be mindful, and I really feel – even how many we've had 85,000 deaths in this country. And
a lot
that's
of people.
So sad.
A lot of people have died.
And it's devastating.
It is.
And I feel so bad for their families. But there – you know, when I talked to Adam Egget yesterday
– I talked to him yesterday too.
What time did – when did he say that the Comedy Store might open?
September.
Me too. He said that.
But here's the caveat. Caveat. September caveat means here's the exception to the rule. Do you really?
Exception to the rule.
The caveat he said was that it's going to be half capacities in most of those rooms, and they won't be able to open all of them anyway. So what that really means is what I said the other day before you get into your honest truth depiction. I said to Rudy before the show, I said, I believe in my heart, and I'm not trying to sound like a crazy person. I believe that it's real. It is all real, but I do think they're not telling us something, and it's going to – when it does come out, it's going to fucking blow – it's going to be the scariest world-changing event.
Wait, you think that
– I think they know something, and the reason that they extended our stay for indoors for 3 more months is because they can't tell us something.
That you think that
– I think
you think it's a lie?
No, that
coronavirus can mutate into something even crazier?
I think there's a bigger detail that we don't know about. I think international fucking – I think there's international conversation between massive world leaders, and essentially, in my stupid, dumb, make it up while I'm running in the middle of the night, I think this was a threat. It was a, this is what's going to happen.
You think this was a biological weapon that was thrown?
100%.
A biological weapon that the Ching Chongs created to destroy America?
I don't even think it was them, actually, if I'm being honest.
Irish.
No, the Irish are the greatest people on earth.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
they wouldn't
bad.
Do that.
My bad.
No, but do you know that the lab in Wuhan, the sister lab, is in South Carolina here in the United States? They actually did not. They actually disproved a wet market theory. That's not. It didn't come from a wet market.
Yeah, no, I believe that it did come from a lab.
Okay, so not only did it come from a lab, nobody knows where that lab, which lab it came from.
It didn't. It's not the lab in America.
How do you know? How the fuck would
you know? Because it happened in Wuhan first.
It doesn't matter, dude. That could be the way that they start that viral spread. If they contain it, they can have these are sister labs. We don't know what we're talking about.
We don't.
I think they don't. They're not telling us one big thing. And at the end of the year, they're going to go, fuck, here's what's going on. We got a huge threat.
Make something up.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un called up some of his homies. They fucking plotted some shit. They broke into a lab in the middle of the night. And these Chinese lab guys are like, what do you do here? And then the fucking North Koreans are like, fucking... choked them the fuck out.
What?
And they took the vial and they spread it over Wuhan.
I'm laughing with the accent first. Go ahead.
What, the Korean?
Why we?
Well, because the Chinese
why
is.
Why we do here?
What do you do here? And the Korean guy's like, that's Japanese. But they're there too.
Because that's not the first thing that they would say if they walked into a lab. What do we do here?
What do you do here?
That's not the first thing. It's like,
and then the Korean guys go, we're here for North Korea. And they grab the vial.
It's so racist.
And they break it and it starts to spread.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But they were sent there by people from around the world. It was a world
Why
coalition.
Why can't they just say that? That's what happened. It seems
because a war's about to break out. World War III, motherfucker. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. I sound like
man.
Sam Tripoli.
Yeah, you do.
You're the one that doesn't believe in it. I believe in it. I just know there's something they're not telling us.
Yeah.
They're not telling us something.
But if they're – okay, what I've read is that the fastest we've ever come up with a vaccine is 4 years.
Yeah, they said it would take 2 years to get it everywhere.
2 years to get this vaccine at the earliest.
Yes.
Okay.
Bayer.
So we have to now go, do we quarantine until then, or should we try to adjust and go out and live our lives this pandemic?
Do you want to just go out and live? You can be honest. It's okay to say yes. You do. You want to go out and live. Rude, do you want to go out and live?
She doesn't.
No.
Because when we walked, this is bullshit what
Look
you
at
did
that. She
today.
Instinctively
You
went,
know what she just did her today? We left the house.
Yeah.
And my friend Jeff, a dear friend of mine.
Jeff who?
I forgot his last name.
Do I know him? Okay, never mind. Your dearest friend Jeff.
I don't
Jeff
know.
Blank.
My best friend.
I don't know his last name. Let's make up a name.
Yeah.
Jeff Bulbous. So
Jeff Bulbous. We hired my friend Jeff. Because we got a bunch of furniture.
I'm sure you did.
And I don't know how to build
it. I know. You're not going to build that. You need a handyman.
Yeah. So we're paying this guy to build it. So he was in the garage. And as we walked out of the house, Jeff goes, "What's up, man?" I go, "Jeff." And then fucking Rudy, "Papi, Uncle Tito, don't even get close to him. Don't get close to him, Uncle Tito." I go, "He's my friend." No. I think he got it. Don't get close to him.
The Rona?
No, but still, you have to be 6 feet away.
Oh, were you really
close? She's one of those clinical, like,
did you
fucking
hug him?
No.
Well, he supposed to. He was doing this thing.
He went to hug him. You went to go hug
that
him.
That was my... I'm sorry.
It's instinct.
It's instinct.
And you said, Tito Bobby, don't.
Don't go near him.
It's like if I saw a samurai, I would bow. You know what I mean? But that's my instinct because of my old traditional training. As a Ronin. Yeah.
So what happened? Did he went and he hugged him or no?
No, he stopped.
Did you snitch?
No.
She will snitch. She's a fucking snitch, this little one.
Did you snitch?
No.
Look at me. Did you snitch?
No. We had no time.
So she didn't snitch to Kalila.
You know, but she is a snitch, and it drives me crazy. She's not on my side.
She told me
I have no
allies. She told me she collects notes in her phone about all the stuff that you do that she's going to hold against you. She's got a blackmail note folder.
Yeah, but we haven't paid her yet.
I know, we need to pay her.
No, we'll wait. We shall wait. Write it down. We'll wait.
That's true. We don't need blackmail.
Yeah, we're blackmailing her. Yeah.
We're brownmailing you.
Yeah, but I don't. Because Callan and Rogan and some of these guys.
Well, those guys, Callan and Shab and Theo, those guys all get together.
They all get together.
Well, they don't care. But to be fair,
and then it's like Whitney. It's like Whitney will have Steve-O and a bunch of people coming to her house.
Spade's at her house today.
I know. I saw. And it's like, you know, and we don't do. Well, you went to her house.
I went to her house.
Yeah. I went to her house.
Yeah. I was one of the first ones to go to her house.
Yeah, but
that was more because
she's like a lonely lady.
She's very sad and she needed someone to come over. And Tim Dillon and I went over there to console her. She said, "Will someone braid my hair?" And you have to go braid her
That's
hair.
It's so funny because Whitney Cummings is like, "Yeah, I'm going to just buy a house in the middle of nowhere." You've been out there.
It's so far away.
In the middle of nowhere. And then when you go to her house, it's like, "Look, there's no houses around."
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I'm like, "You're a fucking witch now." you might as well have that pot and you stir it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like the crazy woods witch. Toil and trouble. Yeah.
She sits outside in her backyard and she talks to the coyotes.
Yeah.
"Come closer, coyotes."
And she's got 52 dogs.
Too many fucking dogs.
Right.
One of her dogs bit somebody. Did she tell you that?
No.
Yeah, she'll tell you. Yeah. I don't know which one. One of the dogs bit somebody. Hey, but you know what? Here's what I think. People just want to feel normal, right?
Mm.
Like we had two people come over in the backyard and hang out, and we just stayed in the backyard, nowhere near each other, and I missed it so much. I missed it so much. Just like, and then when they left, it was like this weird like. Okay, bye. And they had to like, you know, it's just, people want to feel normal again. That's all. It sucks.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning when the quarantine happened, I'll go, "This is nice. This is cool."
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something that's, I don't know if I.
Say it.
What was nice about it is the competitiveness went away with other comics.
Oh, right. You mean like the petty bickering?
Those resentments and that jealousy and all that stuff had stopped because we were all now in limbo, right?
Well, we're all kind of on the same page almost.
We're on the page. Like no one can do stand-up right now. No one can sell out stadiums.
Right.
You know, and in the beginning, I'm like, "This is good. We're all like at the starting line or whatever, or we're all in the penalty box."
Right. We're all in this. Yeah,
we're
right.
We're not in play.
Right. That's good.
But now I miss the competitiveness of life.
So much.
Yeah, I miss, you know, getting things and not getting things.
I miss having something to complain about. Like when you're like, "I got to go to this fucking audition. I got to drive all the way over here." I liked it. Like we complained about it, but I loved it. It was so much fun to just like, because it's something to have in your life. It's something to like occupy your time with emotion. Now it's like it's such a fucking numb thing that you're trying to find some shit to do. It's driving me fucking insane. I ran 6.5 miles last night. I was only supposed to do 4, and I was like, "Whatever, I'll just keep going." There was nothing to go home. There's nothing to do at the house.
War zone.
Yeah, but this was at 7 p.m.
I know.
Okay, you're not playing before 11.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that. Like you said, that you were good at first person shooter.
I am good at first person shooter games. I'm not going to be led around by Eric Griffin. That's all.
Okay.
I'm not going to be led around by him. Oh, By the way, before I forget, mm-hmm. we got our video response back from our girlfriend Rose.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Raycon! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Raycons are my favorite earbuds of all time.
They are incredible.
I like the button on the side where I can press and change the song.
You can do the song, the volume.
The volume and all that stuff. They're really futuristic looking. They fit comfortable in your ears. They're my favorite of all time.
They're nice and small and snug. A lot of these other competitors of Bluetooth earbuds are super expensive, and they're big and chunky. These are nice and tiny. They hide in your ear. Bobby has two in underneath his headphones right now.
Right.
That you can't see. They're half the price of most of the premium earbuds that are on the market right now. And don't drop, you know, $500, $600, $700 on them. Their earbuds are comfortable.
They're the most affordable ones. I couldn't even believe how cheap they were. I'm being honest with you.
No, seriously, it is. Yeah. It's extremely. They're extremely affordable, is the best word to say. They're stylish and discreet. There's no like wires and all that stuff. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, they are the best ones. They gave me and Bob some, and I tried them out when I was running. And I do love
them. This company was co-founded by Ray J.
Ray J.
And celebrities are obsessed with it, like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B.
Snoop Dogg loves it.
Melissa Etheridge. Brandy, J.R. Smith.
Yeah, you know them.
Yeah,
you know J.R. Smith.
Favorite.
You're good friends with them.
Yeah.
Now's the time to get your hands on these. Honestly, if you want good earbuds, they're the best. Raycon, 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/badfriends,
guys.
That's buyraycon.com/badfriends for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. I can't say it enough. They're phenomenal. Go to buyraycon.com/badfriends. Yeah. Okay. So this will be good. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Andrew. This is me, Rose. How are you guys? You know what? I always believe that love is more than a gender. It's more than anything, actually. Love is love. I just want to say that I'm very, very, very proud of you. Guys, please, please, please always stay strong. Most especially that your adoption to Lituanan, baby will come true. I love you guys and always stay safe, okay? Love you.
Oh. How sweet is that?
Yeah.
Lituanian.
Yeah, that
was
nice.
She was very nice.
We have to do another one.
How many more can we do with her? We just have to keep asking her to do
every week we should do one.
You want to do another one?
Yeah, let's do one. I propose an idea. Just a very simple thing that doesn't make any sense. Can we just tell her, just say, Lulu la la.
Lulu ta la.
Like some weird like thing, like Lulu magic.
This is the thing, she might not say it.
Magic bus.
Magic bus.
Toot toot.
Happy for toot toot magic bus.
Yeah, yeah. Happy, that's it.
Happy for toot toot magic bus.
Yeah, we'll do that. Happy for
toot toot magic bus. That's it, and that's all we
want. That's all we want.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll do one for next week.
We'll do one next week and we'll get her. But that was very sweet of her. That was really nice that she did that. She's got the fan blowing in the background.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Andrew.
Oh, she's so sweet.
She is so nice.
What a sweet girl.
Do you like her?
Yeah.
Do you?
You do?
Does she remind you of home?
Kinda, yeah.
She does?
Yeah. She misses home.
You do? Should we send you back? Can we send you back?
Right now?
We tried to buy you a flight that one time and we couldn't buy you a flight. What about a boat? How long would it take to boat down
like,
there?
What do you miss about home? Talk in the mic, Jules. All right.
Yeah.
No, get your mouth to the mic. What do you miss about home?
My friends.
Your friends.
And then my dogs.
Your dogs. Oh.
Oh, that's so that.
But did you notice she didn't say her brothers?
Well.
She has two little brothers she hates.
How old are they?
6 and 7.
Yeah, that's the worst. They're little assholes. They're little idiots. They smell like poop.
I know.
Right? They have shit all over them. They suck. Last week we got a lot of hoorah for the fire stand-up comedy of Andres Rosende.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was a beast, right? I want to show you, we found something from his earlier days of trying to get movies produced. You're going to fucking really love this, by the way. Look at, he did a Kickstarter. By the way, it got funded. $10,000 he asked for and he got it. And this is it.
He directed it?
Yeah, this is a Kickstarter.
Would you push pause for a second? Just, I want to let you know, the reason why I know Andreas in the first place is I knew him as a director.
You did?
Yeah, because this is how I met George. I met George and Andreas at the same time. So years ago, I was at Maker Studios.
I remember.
And I met George.
Yeah.
And then one of the first sketches, he told me, I know this really good director from Spain, and he's going to direct the sketch. So he directed me in a sketch.
Did he?
That's how I met Andreas.
He's great.
So let's see the movie.
This is the Patreon to get the movie funded. I'm sorry. This is the Kickstarter to get the movie funded.
My name is Andrea Rosende, and I'm an MFA from Cantera Columbia University. And Mr. Bear is my thesis film.
Motherfucking
dead. Steve needs now to face the biggest decision of his life. Either go ahead and get rid of the bloody corpse, or become one himself. This is gonna be a kick-ass movie. So, if you wanna know how the story ends, please, we need your support. Because even with.
And now they beg for money for the next 20 minutes. It worked. We have to see this movie.
What we have to do is during this, how about this? During this coronavirus,
yeah,
this pandemic, let's have Andreas write us a short.
And shoot it?
Let's shoot it.
I'm 100% down.
I'm being real.
So am I.
But Jules has to have lines in it.
Yeah. Do you want to do that?
If Andreas wrote a movie, a short, with me and Andrew.
Would you do it?
Maybe it's a quick heist thing where you're trying to, I'm a Korean jeweler or something, and you're trying to.
And I try to rob you?
Yeah, something like that.
I take you hostage.
Yeah. Or maybe like there's just one scene in a movie.
You're a jeweler, and you're going to check on your store because it's been shut down during the pandy.
Yeah.
And you see that I'm breaking in there, and I take you hostage, and like Dog Day Afternoon. Do you ever see Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah.
You never saw it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
Dog Day Afternoon, Al Pacino was in it. And you know who else was in it is John Cassavetes. Is that his name? John Cavettes? Is that it? What is his name? What's his name?
That's it?
Yeah. And Dog Day Afternoon is they
Attica!
Train. They try and train
Attica!
Dog. They try and dogs to race. Is that what it is?
Have you never seen it for real?
How did of course I've fucking seen it. They try to rob the bank.
And then what happens?
And it's a true story and all the it's a fumble. They fumbled this bank robbery all day, right? And it's a true story. I even saw the documentary based on the guy.
So let's do our Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah, but so you and I we have to find a bank to do it.
No, we'll find a bill. We'll find a studio. We'll do it inside of a closed
So
studio.
You and I are in cahoots. We're both bank robbers?
We don't find that out to the end.
Oh, right. I'm a teller then?
No, not a bank, jewelry.
Oh, jewelry. I'm a jewelry. Yeah. And you work with me mm-hmm. in the jewelry.
And I hold both of you hostage.
Right.
And the police come and there's this hostage negotiation and we fool them to thinking that if they just give me what I need, I'll let you guys go. But in turn, you're working with me.
Ah.
And we have an escape plan and Rudy is the one that gets us out of there. She's in the helicopter. Nobody knows. She can fly a fucking, she's like, I'm from Philippines. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Next, end of the scene, she And she's like, come on, rope it down, let's go.
Hey, Red, I don't know why you come into... I'm going to have that accent.
Do
I don't know why you come into my jewelry store to try to rob me, my friend.
What am I playing? What's my accent?
I don't know. You make it up.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, wait, you hold me up first. What the fuck? What, are you a Franken orange?
No,
don't
do that. That's like Clint Eastwood.
Be real. Be real.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, you stupid Asian piece of shit.
Whoa.
Put your hands up.
Whoa.
You too, lady. Put your hands up.
Whoa.
Now.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're so scared. Oh.
Don't call the cops. If you hit that panic button, I'll shoot both of you in the face.
Yeah, my bad.
Give me all the jewelry.
Okay.
Where's the diamonds?
In the vault. I'll be right
then
the
take
back.
Us to the vault. No, no. Put your hands up.
What?
We'll go. Both of them.
And then. Yeah. I just did. Yeah. There we go. I'm fucking you in the ass right now. yeah. I have a pointy dick.
And the cops come.
Yeah. Oh my. Okay. Just have Andreas write it.
Okay.
We'll do. I'm being real though, because I got some. I have to figure out something creative to do in this. This podcast ain't doing it for me. No, I love it. No, I'm grateful for it, and I would die without it.
But want more. You want more.
I
want
to be able to do more because I can, just during the week. They just blend together. I don't know what day it is sometimes. You know? It's really fucking sad, man.
Well, honestly.
It's hard to be even funny in this fucking situation. That's all.
We're destined to do some kind of movie or something together. We need to do something like that.
We need to do something, yeah.
This was us. Somebody found footage of us from a long time ago. Look at how great this is. This is us. This is this guy, Doug Bento, sent this to us. This is us on a game show from many years from the 80s.
I was not in a game show.
Yeah, you and I did a game show together in the
80s. Yeah, that was I remember that.
When we refer to someone as yellow, we consider them to be what?
Chinese?
Not Chinese. Over to Jerry and Murray now. Yes, Jerry.
Cowardly.
Cowardly is correct. Jerry's only.
When we find someone to be yellow, what are they?
Chinese?
Not Chinese. Over to the Chinese kid.
Cowardly.
How great. That's like one of the greatest clips I've ever seen.
Also, it's like, what? Do you think that kid got canceled?
No, you can't get canceled.
They probably had canceled
back then.
In the
80s?
Yeah.
When we refer to someone as yellow, we consider them to be what?
Chinese?
Push mom there. Push mom there. Yeah. And when the guy says no, probably 90% of America's like, what is it then?
It is Chinese.
Yeah, it is Chinese.
By the way, you could tell this is Britain, by the way.
Oh, yeah. British people.
Listen to what he sounds. He says,
as yellow, we consider them to be what?
Watch his face.
Chinese?
Not Chinese. Over to Jerry and Matt.
Look at how bummed he is.
I know.
He's like, it is Chinese. Watch when he when he says Chinese, and he goes, no, watch his face.
Not Chinese. Over to Jerry and
Yes, it is. That's what my dad calls them all the time.
Yeah.
Yellow bastards. Those yellow bastards.
Yeah.
Get off our lawn, yellow bastards.
Yeah.
Jerry, no. Yes, Jerry.
Cowardly.
Cowardly is correct.
And then during the commercial break, the Asian guy goes to the orange. You're right. You know what I mean? Like just to make him feel better. You're probably right.
We agree.
But you know
how weird that that of course. And look, his little face is looking over. Like,
oh, I hate
fucking little.
I know.
He's crying. He was hating on the redhead.
Oh, can I just say something? When in school, you don't think that when I saw that kid in school in my class, I went.
Why?
Fucking Chong Chongs. Because I hate Asians like that.
Why?
Because those are the ones that fuck up the curve.
Do you hate Asians like that, Root?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I'm the one that people cheat off of, and we all fail.
Right.
Right?
But everybody wants to cheat off of
him. So there's two different types.
So you're the other.
I'm the other type, the dumb one.
But you don't like them because they're progressive. They're doing their... They're too smart.
There's just like, a lot of Asians are very sciencey, and mathematics. They're good at mathematics, right?
Yeah.
But you have to understand that in every country, you have coal miners as well.
Sure.
And I come from that lineage.
What about you?
I don't know.
Are you a math girl?
She gets straight A's.
Why do you hate this
kind
of Asian?
She gets straight A's.
Why do you hate this kind of Asian?
There's a lot in my school, and they're like very, like, they think of a lot of Asians as stupid.
So they think if you're not like them, you're stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going to, I was in rehab in my junior year in high school.
Yeah.
And when I got out of school, I remember our history teacher goes to the class, so Bobby just got out of rehab. She makes an announcement.
Why would she say that?
Because I missed a bunch of, and discuss, the journey that you just had. I go, I just was on drugs and now I'm sober.
She made you do that in front of the
fucking... And a Chinese guy raises his hand and goes, why do you have to do drug in the first place? And I remember turning to the guy and go, you fucking gook fuck. So you don't. I think the same thing. I'm that guy that says yellow.
You think? Yeah. You're more racist than I am.
I honestly.
Do you want something to wipe up that coffee?
No, it's fine. I don't give a fuck. Honestly, dude, it's just like I don't even really identify with it.
What do you identify as?
Nothing. Like I more identify with a strange guy.
Do you forget that you're Asian until someone says something stupid?
I don't even think of it. Do you ever think, Jules, do you ever think that you're Asian?
No.
Yeah. What white people don't get is that when you wake up, you don't go, I'm Asian. You don't think that.
Of course you don't think that. I'm saying it's not conscious until someone says something about it.
You realize, you know, like my friend PK put a post off on his Instagram, and there's a bunch of white chicks in a mall, and they're like, what kind of race would you never date? It's all these white chicks going, Asian, definitely. Gross.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And those are the moments where I realize, oh, am I different?
Yeah, very.
Yeah. What?
Very. I said very.
I know you said that, but what do you mean by that?
Because, like, black people are cool, and they have all that they're cool, and they have culture and music, and Mexicans are fun, and they have good food.
Yeah, great cars, great style. Yeah,
and you guys are just buying up land, and you're gonna come here to buy the land. And
we're so much more than that.
I know, dude. I'm clearly fucking kidding around. No,
you know, stop it.
Stop it. You know how much I love Asians. Some of them.
Yeah.
Which one do you think I don't like the most? You know. Hey.
Vietnamese.
No.
Japanese.
No.
Korean.
No.
Chinese.
No.
Wuhan.
No.
Cambodians.
Yep.
No, really?
No. I don't hate anybody. I don't have time to do that shit.
Yeah.
What a waste of my time. I hate people, not races. There's a lot of people I hate. There's a reason to hate the person. It's not because of their race. I feel the same way in a weird... I forget that I have red hair until someone makes a joke about it.
Right.
It's really fucking... It's like this... It's not the same as when someone makes an Asian joke to you, but it's annoying to me in a way where I go, well, I'm not allowed to be mean back.
Yeah.
Because then I'm a bad guy.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting that it's like without that, I think we would get along better. I think, as you know, it's like.
But we need to be different. I think it's.
I know we need to be different, but why bring it up? Why do people bring it up and then they draw lines and then you know they say that this group of people that look like this are less than this group of people?
Because I think that when your life is not that fulfilled and you're kind of dumb or average, that's a point of conversation. It's a point of life that you can go. You know, my buddy's mom was like, you know, at that grocery store,
yeah,
there's lesbians,
yeah,
and it was like and of course to us in our world, you go, yeah, so what? And to them in their little insular world, they're like, no, I mean, you know, we don't see a lot of lesbians over here. It's like they're always at that store. It's a point of conversation.
But you know what's funny
about
it?
It's just something to talk about.
It's that, you know. Everyone says that you're a product of your environment, whatever. So it's like basically, you know, if you were born in a Christian household,
yeah,
you're probably going to end up being a Christian, right?
Most likely. But or the opposite.
Yeah, but my parents were always anti whatever I was into.
Right.
Like I remember as a kid, my dad just pounded his hand on the table. If you're ever gay, I kill you.
I know.
Right? And I remember going, wow, that's really?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Right. I never thought that any race or any gender or any position sexually was a fucking bad thing.
Because it doesn't matter.
But I know, but I was never conditioned to think that. I feel like I was born, I kind of analyzed the world around me and things that made sense and didn't make sense and came to the conclusion that why does it matter about one's gender or what their sexual preferences?
Yeah, who cares?
Or race. It doesn't matter. But my parents definitely had, you know, an ideology and their own set of, you know.
But this is to play devil's advocate, though. Our ideology is everyone's cool and it's okay and do whatever you want. 50 years from now, maybe they'll look back at us and be like, God, they were so fucking stupid. the way that they looked at that. I don't know what theirs is going to be.
Yeah.
But it'll also...
It will probably end up being, like, even calling you a redhead would be like saying the N-word.
It is. It is
no,
to
it's
me.
Not.
It is to me.
No.
It's the exact same
it's
thing.
It's an ugly look.
Ginger.
That's ginger, the obvious thing.
Ginger is the N-word with different scrambling.
Yeah.
It is. It's the different letters.
You know it's a weird look.
People just
Does it look weird, though?
Yeah.
Good.
People just want to feel like they have something to say. People, elevator music, people, weather. Oh, God, it's hot out. They want to just talk about stuff. My neighbor, Timmy, I'm washing the cars yesterday. I'm washing me and my wife's car in the driveway. I like it. It's like nice. I put in my headphones. My neighbor does this thing. I take my hand. Yeah. She goes, you could do ours next.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say? Now I have to play along with her thing that I don't like. I have to go, you go, it's $300 a car. I have to do that.
Yeah.
Because if I really go, if I go, what? What the fuck are you talking about? No, I'm not going to. That's a stupid thing to say. Don't say that. And then put on my headphone. Then I'm the mean guy.
So no, I don't do that.
You just have to go along with it.
If somebody brings up something that I don't want to talk about, like if somebody comes up to me, a stranger, and goes, wow, I really like that shirt you're wearing.
Yeah.
I'll just go, no.
Shut up.
I really will.
You. If somebody goes, where did you get that shirt? Bobby, that Hawaiian shirt's cool. Where did you get that?
No.
Fuck you.
I really will.
Why?
Or I won't even answer. Ask me again.
Whoa, those pants are cool. Where did you get those? Who makes those?
Bop, bop, bop.
Bop, bop, bop makes those?
No.
Oh, the company No Bop, bop,
no,
bop?
No, I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you. Bop, bop, bop. No makes those?
Something like that.
Yeah, Spiral.
Yeah.
I have a face of ask me directions. People always come up to me.
Yeah. Hey, excuse me, sir.
Yeah, well, what's up?
How do I get to 2nd Street and Gardner?
Oh, so easy. You have a smartphone, an iPhone?
Yes.
Okay, open it up and then type
no,
that
no,
in.
I want you to tell me, Red.
No, I'm telling you what to do with your phone. Type in, how do I get to Sunset and Gardner? And then when you're done, put the phone right all the way up your asshole.
Yeah.
You know what happened to me this morning that I feel really good about?
What?
I pull up to the Starbucks drive-thru. I go to Starbucks drive-thru. I get to the window and she hands me the food and I go to hand her my card and she goes, it's okay, the car in front of you already paid. For you.
Wow.
You know, one of these like Oprah things, you know, pay it forward.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, why did they do that? And she goes, I don't know. And then my head goes.
They're tight. They're fans of bad friends or your whiskey ginger.
Well, my first unfortunate thought is, did they see me and they know me?
Yeah.
But they're in front of me through the rear view. They couldn't have.
Yeah.
No
they
way.
They did.
But then I thought this could be because of the pandy. People are trying to be nice to people and pay for other people's shit. So then I said to her. Well, I should pay for the people behind me then. Right?
Yeah.
But I had a very – she goes, I mean, if you want to. And I go, yeah, of course I will. Let me do that. Let me pay for the next car.
Yeah.
But in a Larry David moment when she goes away to go get the total, I felt like this is so a Larry David. I literally go, what if they got a lot of stuff? I don't want to pay for a lot of stuff. Like I could hear Larry David being like, did they just get coffee?
Yeah.
Because if they got more than coffee, I don't want to pay for – I'll pay for just their coffee.
Yeah.
And that would be a Larry David moment.
Right.
They would go, they'd get up to the window, they'd hand him and they go, that guy took care of your coffee, the food he didn't pay for. And somehow they remember him, they run into him later. It's such a Larry David moment. So I called Jeff Schaefer, who did this season of Curb, and I told him that. And I go, if you use that, I want fucking credit because I can see Larry doing that thing. But yeah. I paid for the meal. I paid for the people behind me.
Oh, how much was it?
I don't know. I didn't even ask.
Yeah.
But she's, you know, whatever. I paid for it. And I hope in my head... People kept doing it all afternoon.
Oh, what a sweet guy.
No, because that's really fucking cool. That's a nice thing to do to make people. Because here's why. If it wasn't the pandy, I'm not doing that. But the pandy is making us go, hey, man, times are fucking annoying.
Yeah.
This is something fun to shift it up.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just fun. Like there's something about it.
When you go to a restaurant and they go, hey, we're big fans of yours. It's on us.
Oh, God. You have to tip so much. You have to tip so much money.
That's why.
You have to tip so much money when they do that.
I know. What I say is this. I go, no, I'm paying for it. The reason why is because, especially if it's a restaurant that I'm going to come back to.
Oh, right.
I don't want them to think that, oh, here he comes again for a free meal. There he comes. He's been here for twice a week, you know what I mean, to get the free meal. I tell them that. I go, don't pay for me because I want to come back.
Yeah.
I'll still give you a big tip. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Right. But I don't want to feel pressure of not coming back. I want to come back.
Right. They're like, sir, this is your 8th time this week at this PF Chang's. You have to go somewhere else. I took my wife's parents out for dinner at a really nice steakhouse.
Yeah.
And they brought us wine. And after the guy, he comes up to me kind of like over my shoulder. They can't really hear. So I thought. And he goes, hey, man, I'm a massive fan. And this is like such a big deal. If I don't want to bug you now, but after the dinner, could I get a photo? And I go, yeah, totally. No doubt. On the way out, just, you know, wait till we're done, like done eating. And then, of course, no big deal. And then he comes up and the manager comes up and he's like, great to meet you, in front of my wife and her parents. And it's like, we took care of the bill. And I was like, fuck.
I know.
Because now I'm like, you have to give, you have to tip, in my opinion, you have to tip double the bill.
Right, right.
Double the bill. So right, whatever the bill was, two times that has to go to the server's pocket.
Right, yeah.
Which is fine. It's just, it's a forced hand.
Yeah.
I would have tipped him well anyway. But now you're tipping 200% of what the bill was.
Right.
And then we take the photo, and it's one of these moments where we're not getting the photo. Doing, oh, could we, something's wrong with the thing. And it's lasting a long time.
Yeah.
And now people are looking at me. And for everything in the world, I wish I could have just given all the money for the thing and ran out as fast as I could. Just give them the money and been like, I can't take the photo. I'm sorry. I got to go.
Yeah.
Something's wrong at the thing.
Yeah.
It was just uncomfortable. It was just weird. I don't like those moments.
Here's what I don't like too. At a restaurant where the waiter will go, so the chef's a really big fan, right?
Fuck, you're
and
fucked.
So he made something special for you, right? So you already ordered your meal.
Yeah, you don't.
And then the waiter comes with a boar.
Yeah, on fire.
On fire, and I got to eat the whole fucking thing now.
Yeah, the chef's just sitting there like this.
Yeah.
You have to finish it.
You have to finish it. It's the worst.
That I don't like.
I don't like it either.
Here's what I do like.
What?
When people just do a subtle thing knowing that I know that they know. I think that's the coolest thing when they go like I've had a guy go like this in a restaurant. He just goes like this,
like that. Oh, I love it's like Fight Club.
Yes,
it's like Fight Club. Yeah,
you know, I know. Okay,
we
don't say anything.
When we went to Hawaii with my mom before the pandy,
yeah,
we did the road to Hana, and then we wanted to go to Mama's Fish House. But if you ever been to Mama's Fish House,
yes,
it's a 2 month reservation.
Yeah, you can only get in if you know someone that can get you in.
Right. So we drove. I tell you this story already.
No.
Okay. So we drive up, and I go to the hostess, and I go, "Hey, four? She, you have reservations?" I go, "No," and she goes, "Sorry, it's a 2 month reservation." Like that, and she looks me right in the eyes, and I kind of blush, but I go, "All right, guys, let's get back in the car." But then the valets, they go, "What, you can't get in?" I go, "No, hold on." I had a valet run down to the hostess.
That's
and
awesome.
I could see that from afar, him yelling at her, right? It was the best, right?
Yeah.
And then she calling the owner of whatever.
Yeah.
And then she goes, she had to go, "All right, you get prime tea table right this way."
Oh, how awesome.
So we go to the table, and this is the best.
Yeah.
And I love... That's why I love podcasting.
Yeah.
Waiters and waitresses would walk by me and whisper, "Nosotros papaya." Or, "Hail the Slep King."
That's so
funny. You know
funny.
What I mean? And it feels, I love those fans. I mean, I love Matt TV fans and if they like me in a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But our podcast friends are people that we would hang out with.
It's great.
It's great.
Yeah, no, I love it.
It really is.
I do love it. I love it when all you have to do is be cool and don't make it fun. Don't make it weird. Don't say a weird thing. And
That's why when I – Ramey and those guys I play at Warzone with is when I'm talking to them because I know – during the messages, they go, "I'm a Bad Friends Tiger Belly fan."
That's cool.
And then when you're playing with them, it's just almost as if there's a trust factor because they know all my fucking insecurities.
Well, because they're a part of us.
Yeah.
They're a part of the
It's thing. Really nice.
I fucking love it. Oh, speaking of which.
What?
Bob and I, it's not a fact, but we might be trying to do, copying a good friend of mine. Mark.
No, we are going to do it.
Okay, we're going to do these drive-in movie. We're going to try to do a drive-in movie theater.
We might do it in Bakersfield.
Yeah, we're working it out.
So Andrew and I, Bad Friends, and Rudy will be there too.
Has to.
She has to be there on stage with us. But we're going to do a drive-in.
Drive-in movie theater.
And you're going to go, "Well, why can't I just, I'd just rather just listen to it." But we're gonna go to car to car.
Yeah, we're gonna be around. We're gonna be walking
around. We'll stick a sticker or something on your windshield. Yeah.
We're gonna do
and
something.
We'll wave. You know what I mean? Just don't get out of your cars or roll up the window.
It'll be very. I promise you, we're gonna make it a whole thing.
Yeah.
Wait, let me tell you this one story.
Tell me stories. I love stories.
No. This just reminded me though of that kind of thing. I can't do that. I can't walk up to a restaurant and, "Hey, da 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 da." Although Nobu Malibu. It worked and it felt really good. But it never really happens to me.
Yeah.
But I was in Chicago with Rogan doing a show, and we go to this place called Bavette's and Buff, one of my favorite steakhouses in Chicago, right? This is very Rogan-esque. Rogan loves MMA, doesn't like sport, doesn't know sports, thinks like sports are ridiculous. I'm like, you like a sport, how do you not like other sports, right? A very famous Chicago Blackhawk hockey player walks up to us as we're walking in and is like, Joe Rogan. And Joe's like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, holy shit, I'm a huge fan of Corey Crawford. Hey, man, you're a huge fan, da-da-da. And he goes, oh, cool, man. And he walks, and he's like, what are you doing in town? He's like, doing a show. And he's like annoyed almost with him.
Yeah.
And he walks away, and I say to Joe, I go, do you know how that's like a thing? Like one of those?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, I don't know, man. And we walk up to the thing. Joe is on the phone, and he's out by the car. I go inside, and I go, hey, we're looking to get a table. There's four of us. And she's like, we're totally booked. Like, it's, what do you, like, she's looking at me like I'm a moron.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I know it's late, a late night thing. And, but is there any way it's, Joe Rogan? Like, Joe is here if we're in town doing the UFC. And
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't, there's nothing like that. I don't know what you, she thinks I'm full of shit. So Joe comes walking in, and the girl at the front is like, Joe goes over there. He's like, what's the deal? Is there any way we can sneak somewhere in here at all?
Yeah.
He's being so polite, so nice. And she's like, I don't have any. Dude, before she can finish her sentence, you see a guy. I mean, it's like out of a movie. He's like talking to guests in like a nice suit. And then he turns and he sees Joe and he's like, phew! And he just beelines and he goes, Joe Rogan, what can we do? How can we help you? Where do you need to be tonight? And
really?
Yeah. And he's like, we just want a table. He's like, right this way. And the girl was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And they sit us.
She should get fired.
She got fired.
No,
I have no fun.
But she should get fired.
But we sat down at the most prime booth in the thing.
Oh, it's the best.
And because I'm with him,
yeah,
it's an endless pouring of meat. It's just like, they like are shoving 5 hours of just eating meat, drinking, blacking out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the most fun.
It's the opposite of what happened to me in Irvine. Remember I told you?
Huh.
When I went to the restaurants, I told you that.
No.
Yes, I did.
When?
On this podcast, I never told you.
What did you do in Irvine?
When I didn't tell you?
No.
So, I don't want to tell this. It's embarrassing after hearing that story, actually. Because I did the polar opposite. You know what I mean?
Why? Tell me.
All right. We might have to cut it out, though.
Did you tell it on Belly or something?
I don't remember. Did you hear this story before? Uh-uh. So this just happened. So this happened in February.
Yeah.
So, I sold out the Irvine Improv.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do.
Very.
Right?
Very.
It's 500 seats. I feel the first time I ever sold out before going there. You know, it felt good.
Yeah.
So I went there early. I go, you know what? I'm going to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have a nice dinner before my show.
Yeah.
So I show up at the club, and I go to the manager, and they go, why are you here so early? I go, you know, I want to be mindful to get here early so you're not worrying that the headliner's not here.
Right.
So I came early, and I'm going to eat some dinner next door at Paul Martini's or something like that.
Sure.
So I walk in there, and I go, hey, one? And she goes, no. She goes, no, we're 3 hour wait. And I go, yeah, but
I'm by myself.
I'm headlining literally next door, and I have to perform. No, we don't give a fuck. No. And I go, can I see the manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Jimmy comes. Yeah, I'm headlining. No. Nope. I go, but I'm headlining. Yeah, we don't do that.
They didn't let you eat?
No, so then what I go, hold on. I go next door to the Irvine Improv and I go, yeah, they said no. Right? And they go, yeah, okay. And I go, I go, go over there with me.
No.
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 And they go, but you know what we do have? There's a Mexican restaurant right next door to that.
Yep.
We have connect. We'll call. We have connect. It's really good. You'll love it. So, okay, great. I'll have Mexican. So they call. I go over there. Hey, excuse me. No. I go, but they called. We know. We know they called. Irvine Improv.
You getting shut down?
And I go, but I know, but they called, so you talked to them. Yeah, we just got off the phone with them, you idiot. We just said, no. No to you. And I go, yeah, but I'm headlining. We don't give a fuck. No. So I went back and I went to the manager of the Iraq. And this is the part that's going to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
I go, I'm going home.
Shut up.
I swear to God, I said that. Like an idiot. Like a fucking baby.
You're like, they don't want to give me food.
I don't like a fuck. They go, we have food here. I don't want to eat your diarrhea fucking ridden, infested fucking food here.
How do you know it's diarrhea ridden?
I don't know. I just don't like club food.
Did I get food poisoning from your old Irvine Improv? I did.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I did.
You hear stories.
Yeah.
So I went to my car.
You pretended like you were going to fucking leave? You're such an asshole. And they're like, Pop, where are you, Pop?
No. They're like, what are we, you know what I mean? And I think I called like some guy from AA. You know what I mean?
To help you get through it.
Yeah, I go.
Because you were annoyed.
I go, because I had just got on, you know.
You were just pissed off.
I was just newly sober, you know.
That was when you just got sober.
I was like a month and a half in, you know what I mean? So I was just like really tender.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's just like, what are you doing? Yeah. You got to work, dude.
See?
It's not a big deal.
Grow up.
And I go, all right. I know, but I'm just saying, when you said the Joe Rogan thing,
I know.
Right? It's a polar opposite.
It was just.
And I'm being honest with you. When I behave in that way.
Yeah.
But somebody should have sat me, by the way. But.
Well, you're a single. It should have been easy to take one.
It should have been easy.
Person.
And also, can I just defend my position real quick?
Sure.
Is that the Irvine Improv, how many, I mean, you're talking about 2,500 people.
Yeah, it's a lot.
During the weekend that you're bringing in, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of business.
So you're bringing in business to those restaurants, am I not right?
The majority of that business is probably those people.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Right? Just give me a table. That was my thinking, right? Yeah. You're right. I should have done it differently. I was acting. My ego got in the way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to apologize
that
to those restaurants.
That being said.
Fuck those
give
restaurants.
Give me a fucking table. Give
fuck
me,
those
fuck those restaurants.
Yeah,
give
yeah,
me a table.
Yeah. Okay.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. Fuck those restaurants. Give me a table. You can help me the fuck out. No, I can't pull any strings. Joe was the only reason that every time I've ever tried, they don't even acknowledge it.
Okay, I can one more story.
Yeah.
One more story. So this was just surprising to me. Jordan Peele and I, he goes, let's go have lunch somewhere. So we went to this restaurant on Los Feliz Boulevard, right?
Little Dom's.
It was dinner. It was dinner, like 6 p.m.
Little Dom's.
No, it wasn't Little Dom's. It was like it was called the Lodge or something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Or the Living Room, some bullshit fucking thing like that. And we walk into the lobby and we go, hey, can we sit too? Now, sorry, reservations only. And Jordan just goes, all right, walks out. And I go, Academy Award nothing? You want an Academy Award nothing?
It's so funny if he just brought his Oscar and he's
I'm
like,
I'm just saying that
hey.
You can't get in.
No, good. But don't you think that's fair? That's fair.
I think it's fair.
No, you want it. You want it so you can do
I think it's fair.
Did you get into the Poway Hall of Fame, by the way?
We never
checked.
They love it.
You crashed the website? Still
didn't
work?
Yeah, it's there.
I'm sorry.
I let it go.
Bob,
thank
you
for
being a
bad friend.